Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our draft preview show, Chris Sanders, Teron Davenport, tonight at 5 o'clock, 2 hours. And Caroline, you've seen the grid for that, or you've seen the outline for that. It's mostly Chris and TD talking. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people that don't like me, especially after last night's Preds game. I know there's a lot of people that don't like me. But it is a lot of Chris and TD talking, so at least there's that. For the people that are like, oh, you know, I love the tight end, yeah, whatever. Just know that we've got the draft show coming up tonight. Back to the Predators. Let's start on them today. How are you, Caroline Fenton?
I'm great. I just want to make sure that you plan on apologizing to the people for single-handedly losing that game for the Preds last night.
Okay, so I think you bring up an interesting element here. Last night, with about 15 minutes to go in the game, I said when they made it 4-1, I tweeted out, this one is over. But don't get too cocky. Everybody seems to forget the second part of what I said.
The first part was all that mattered. This is done. And it's almost like the universe was like, yeah, haha, bet. Like, I'll show you it's over.
I said the game was over. And everybody seems to forget the second part where I said, don't get too cocky. Clearly, they got a little cocky last night, but they ended up losing. And oh my God, did my Twitter explode? Now look, I don't base life off of what Twitter says. Like, I'm not somebody who sits there and says, oh, well, they're mad at me at Twitter and they're mad and that's going to, that doesn't bother me. They are apparently making like anti-Jared Stillman radio shows now, and that doesn't bother me. Like, none of that really seems to affect me. So you just asked the question, or I don't think you asked. I think you demanded, which was an apology for last night's game. I called it. If I was a decision desk, you know, for a political race, we called it at 7:35 or whatever last night, and the Predators absolutely blew it. So you demanded an apology, or did you ask for an apology? How would you characterize your...
I would say that the people deserve an apology, okay. And then it is up to you to interpret that however you'd like.
Okay. So do you think I should apologize?
That's on you.
Okay, well, guess what?
I'm not getting an apology.
Going to apologize. I love that everyone's like, last night was like, you screwed it, you jinxed it, you did it, you.
Well, people are telling me, how could you let him do this? What do you mean? I don't control his Twitter.
Oh, my
goodness. It wasn't on me.
This is like, they played a game against Calgary a couple of years ago. It was a Thursday night, 2018. I believe it was February. And this was a point in time where Jared and the GM, we were just killing it. I mean, and honestly, we were killing it because we were talking about the Preds every day. We were talking about the Predators. And, you know, like other people want to talk about college basketball or they'd want to talk about, and we got all the data and all the data said talk Preds. So we just talked Preds. It's a Thursday against Calgary. And I'm like, how do I make this Thursday night game interesting? I'm at morning skate. I'm standing outside the locker room. And one guy who's part of Calgary's travel party, no idea who this guy is, starts talking about just how bad this road trip has been. How long it's been, how awful it's been, the snowed in here, snowed out there, going home tonight. Backup goalie, star player out, going home tonight. So I say, here's what I'm going to do. 2 o'clock, I'm going to say, I guarantee the Predators will win. And boy, that took off like a house of fire. And then they lost. And everybody got mad at me. And I took the blame for that. Last year, they played, I believe it was Calgary again. I could be wrong. It was Halloween. 2019, the last real Halloween we ever had. And they got a big lead early, and I said the game was over. They lost. I apologize for that. I am not apologizing for last night. And for anybody else who thought up 4-1 in the third period that they should be sorry for assuming that game was over, shouldn't have to apologize either. But the truth is, I think we're learning about the Predators. We remember the Predators on the cup run they had, the 2017 run. But if you ever talk to Peter Laviolette, he always brings up 2015 as kind of the start. Went to the playoffs, lost in the first round against Chicago, got a lot of experience. Then they went to the second round, Game 7, San Jose, and you could tell, okay, this group, they are legitimately competitive. then the cup final, then the President's Trophy, then the division, window shut, Peter Laviolette fired. But we never wanted to consider that the window was shut. We never wanted to look at that group and say, okay, your run is over. But in reality, that run is over, right? Peter Laviolette's not here anymore. Pekka Rinne is not the starting goalie anymore. Mike Fisher's not here. Shea Weber's not here. A lot of the guys that were a part of that group, they're not here anymore. It's a different group. That's why the young players coming into the lineup made such a difference, because it was fresh blood. This is a new group. It's a new coach. They have a new goalie. They play with different lines. They have different star players outside of Josi and Forsberg. It's different. Victor Arvidsson in that run was a premier player. He's now a secondary guy on this group. It's a different group. And last night was a learning experience for a new group. Last night's game. This team has been counted out of games and come back to win. Remember at Florida earlier this year when Joel Quenneville just absolutely lost the Panthers the game from the bench? That was literally snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. Last night, I said it was over at 4-1. Even at 4-2, MoneyPuck.com gave the Predators a 95.5% chance of winning the game. The truth is, last night, when I said the second part of the tweet, I said, this one's over. Now, let's not get too cocky was the second part of the tweet. John Hines last night after the game kind of tells you they got a little cocky. Take a listen.
Something coming into the game, even going back to the last game against Chicago, was our net front defense, and something we really addressed and harped on here for a bit. And, you know, going into the third period, we knew it was going to be something we had to be real strong at. So, you know, the first one was, you know, we get beat at the net front. They get the backside tap in on that one. The next one, we were, you know, loose play at the offensive blue line, and then, you know, through the neutral zone. They're a very good rush team. So we didn't get on top over the middle of the player coming through, and then they wind up with a really good play off the rush, which was, you know, which was on us. You know, they're a good rush team. They get time and space. They're going to be able to make plays. We weren't stiff enough in that area with the structure or the commitment that, you know, we need to play with in that area. And then again, if you look at the tying goal, you know, it's a breakdown, it's a wall play, and a puck gets bumped back, and, you know, we circle high instead of stopping and making sure we take care of the slot. So, you know, unfortunately tonight, a couple of the areas that we knew we had to be strong in, and had a plan going in the third of a heavy emphasis, you know, we got exposed in it, and that was the difference of them coming back in the game.
We knew what we had to do. In fact, we did it for the first two periods. Then it kind of all broke down. This is a new group. It's not a young team, but it's a new group. This isn't the same group that went through the wars. This isn't the same group that won the President's Trophy. This isn't the same group that won the Cup. It's a new coach. It's a new structure of how they want to play. It's a new goalie. It's different. And last night was a big experience. Now, if this were any other team, and I'm just going to be honest with you, because last night's loss, given the playoff circumstances, was something that absolutely can't happen. If this were any other team that I don't cover, I would tell you that's a season wrecker. That kind of performance, you have a lead, a huge game, you kick their butts for two periods, you are in the driver's seat, you are setting yourself up really for that showdown in May with Dallas. You're really knocking Chicago out. Chicago at that point essentially on life support. And then it all goes away. It's all gone. Now, unlike other sports, hockey's unique in the fact that you still get a point. So it wasn't like it was the end of the world last night that they lost. But if this were any other team, I would say this is a season wrecker. Remember the overtime loss the Tennessee Titans had in 2010 against the Washington, then Redskins, now football team, where Vince Young threw his pads in the stands after the game? That might as well have been the end of an entire era, because Jeff Fisher was never coming back after that, and neither was Vince Young. I'm not saying that this is the end of anything for this Predators team, because what have we learned about this group? When they zig and you think they're going to zag, they zig in the opposite direction. That's what they've always done. But I think I learned last night, this is a new group. This is a new core. This is a new, it's a new everything. We have to treat them like a team that doesn't have all the experience that we all experienced with this team. But to answer the question or the calls that I got all day on, so I got the Preds Twitter handle, the official Preds Twitter handle, mad at me. Which, by the way, let me say for the record, I love Caroline. I think she does a great job. She's been here for 3 weeks. The Preds Twitter handle follows her, and it doesn't follow me.
They followed me on my first day.
And they don't even follow me. So, I mean, again.
Well, I don't blow games.
I got the Predators Twitter handle mad at me. I got everybody mad at me. Am I apologizing? No. Am I upset about yesterday's game? Yes. Do I think it was I thought it was a humongous opportunity. A humongous opportunity lost. I think it was catastrophic. I think it was really bad. But what I want to see with this new group, because again, it's new. What I want to see is how they react. I don't, you know, again, they lost last night. They lost a point is what they lost. I don't consider Chicago to be a real threat to get that fourth spot in the Central Division. I think they're still pretty much on life support. So what you really lost was a point last night. And again, in theory is a big deal. Dallas is on pace for 63 points. You're on pace for 62. So how important is that 1 point? Well, I guess that could be the difference here. But the momentum, the fact that nobody stepped up last night to stem the tide, the fact that nobody stepped up in overtime last night, that bothers me as much as the actual game lost. And so for me, Caroline, last night's game, I think it's real gut check time now for the Predators. Last night was, they've kind of been this underdog the whole way, right? People writing them off, saying sell, sell, sell. Ekholm's got to go. Forsberg's got to go. Granlund's got to go. Hollis got to go. Cousins got to go. Got to go, got to go. Then nobody goes. Then they play Carolina. Nobody expects them to beat Carolina. That's fine. They knock off. They beat Dallas. They beat Chicago. They beat Dallas. They do what they're supposed to do. Then last night, how are they going to react? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. If you're watching on the stream, Caroline Fenton has done a fantastic job at kind of updating our little studio here. So we're very excited about that.
Little facelift in here.
Caroline, do you have a problem with the fact that I am not willing to apologize for last night's game?
No, I don't, because I did not expect an apology.
So you started the show demanding an apology.
Well, I think the people deserve one. Why didn't think you were going to give them one.
Why is that?
Just because it was all your fault.
How is it my fault?
I'm just joking with you.
I don't know. Maybe make a play. See, I would say there was something about last night's game that bothered me even more than blowing the lead. If I had to rank what all bothers me, like if this were Family Feud and we were to put up the top five things that bothered me about last night's game, blowing the lead is not number one. Also, what people say on Twitter is not number one, nor is it even close. But I'll tell you what number one was on the other side. I want your thoughts, though, on last night's game. The meltdown last night. How big of an issue is it? What did you think about the end of last night's game? And then I think the question is, does this knock the Predators out of the playoffs in your opinion? For me, if I was a Dallas radio host and I covered the Dallas Stars, I would be giddy today about what I saw last night. If I was in Tucson, Arizona, and had no connection to anything, I would say, that's it for them. That's a season wrecker, what happened last night. I'm not going to do it for this Predators team. What do you think? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I will tell you, what bothered me so much about last night's game, more so than blowing the lead, more so than the standings element of it. Caroline Fenton is here. Ian is here. We are live not only on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app, but we're also available on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Periscope. Check us out. Search Stillman & Company. Search 102.5 The Game. Knock yourselves out. We're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. I'm fired up today. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, Preds losers last night in overtime. Not a game they should have lost. Oh, not a game they should have lost. Crispy, by the way, going to join us at 4:30. I will love to get Crispy's take on last night's game. I actually asked John Hines last night after the game about how you regroup after a loss like that. But I said this about last night. Last night's game was absolutely catastrophic. I mean, absolutely catastrophic for the Predators, because when you're in such a tight playoff race, again, MoneyPuck.com is estimating the point totals. They have Dallas at 63. They have the Predators at 62. So how much does that 1 point matter? Well, you have every tiebreaker imaginable over the Dallas Stars. And if you finish 1 point behind, there's your 1 point. But that's not what bothered me the most about last night's game. The meltdown is not what bothered me the most about last night's game. What bothered me the most was once Chicago scored to make it 4-4, I looked at that team. John Hines called the timeout. And I looked at that team and I wondered in my head, I said, who's going to step up? Who's going to step up to make a play? Is it going to be the goalie? Is he just going to go insane, stop everything, and then somehow, some way, you win in a shootout? Is it going to be Roman Josi, your team captain? Is it going to be Elli Tolvanen, your hottest probably scorer, even though he's been out? Is it Granlund, who everybody keeps championing and everybody wants to bring back, and David Poile can't stop gushing about him, even though I think it's just a contract year kind of thing? Who's going to step up and who's going to make the play? And last night in the overtime, I didn't feel like anybody went out there to make the play. After they tied the game at 4, I don't think anybody went out there to make the play. Arvidsson takes a 4-minute penalty, and all of a sudden, now you got to kill this off. I thought it was a good kill. But who's going to make the play? And if you're going to compete, especially if you're going to compete against the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Carolina Hurricanes, but even if you're going to beat the Dallas Stars, you have to ask yourself, who's your guy to make a play? Because I can look at them, and I know who's going to make a play for the Dallas Stars. It's going to be Miro Heiskanen. It's going to be Roope Hintz. If Tyler Seguin gets back, it's going to be him. Remember what Jamie Benn did to Ryan Ellis in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Like, that's what I needed to see. And we've seen it at times from the Predators this year. I'm not saying they're incapable of doing it. Josi had an overtime game winner against the Blackhawks earlier this season where I thought it was one of those ones where he put his hand in the air and said, hey, I'm going to put this puck in the net so that we win. But that's what I was looking for last night, and I didn't see it. That's what bothered me the most about last night's game.
And I think, too, they knew going into this game that Chicago was going to be fighting for their season. That was a must-win game for Chicago, and sure, they knew that. And the Predators looked fantastic in those first two periods. They looked great. But it was the fall-off in that third period and their inability to make adjustments in the third period. They looked shell-shocked, and that shouldn't happen. They should not have let the Blackhawks score. After that first time, they should have said, okay, you know what? No, we have to get it in gear. We're not going to let this differential of our lead go away. And they should have made adjustments there, and they didn't. And they just looked shell-shocked. And it's the lack of adjustments and the lack of leadership, I think, that I saw in the third period that really kind of – that was my biggest thing. That was my biggest takeaway.
I just need somebody to make a play. I just need somebody to step up, somebody to stem the tide. Like, in all sports, when momentum starts going in one direction that way – I'm a believer in momentum. I know some people aren't. I'm a believer in it. You need, if this is baseball, you need that reliever to come out of the bullpen with runners second and third, nobody out, and he's got to get a strikeout, and he's got to walk the next guy, and he's got to get a double play, or he's got to get a strikeout, or he's got to get a pop-up. He's got to do it. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that, hey, that's a fair situation to be in, but you got to do it if you're going to win. You have to do it. If this is basketball, somebody, another team goes and makes a run, coach calls timeout, somebody's got to come out of that timeout and hit a jump shot. Somebody's got to block a shot. Somebody's got to take it to the cup and jam it. If it's football, somebody's got to intercept the ball. Somebody's got to force a fumble. Somebody's got to sack the quarterback. Somebody's got to catch the ball. Somebody's got to throw a beautiful pass. You got to do something to stem the tide. And last night, I didn't see it out of the Predators. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate is going to kick us off today. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, good afternoon. I kind of not expected it to this extent, but I expected the Preds to lose a close game, in the near future, now the past, obviously, just because they were so hot for like a month, and I just think they kind of got hot at the wrong time.
So I think that's always a big fear when you peak. Thank you for your call, Nate. I don't think that has anything to do with last night's game. You know, again, if we want to talk about, you know, at the trade deadline, the team got hot for a month, and they decided not to sell pieces off. And at some point, what was it that they, like 15 of 17 or something ridiculous like that, at some point you're going to revert to the mean. Agreed. But the idea that that matters today, that doesn't really bother me. I mean, you had 2 points on a platter right there. And the thing that must suck is they earned the 2 points. Like, you earned it. You beat them. And I, the reason I said don't get too cocky, and I was obviously referring to Friday night's game, not referring to last night's game, but I was referring to Friday. If you win in regulation, the Chicago Blackhawks are done, and they know it. So they're going to go through the motions on Friday night. They're going to say, hey, you know, we got to win out the rest of the way now. We've got to do this. We got to do. But they pretty much know, like, yeah, hey, man, they're not Columbus and Detroit, but they're not far from it at that point. Just kind of packing it in. And we've seen in football, you want to play a team that's knocked out of the playoffs, you want to play them in late December because they are packing it in, because they are thinking about Cancun. They are out of there. And so if you win this game in regulation last night, the points you essentially earned, then Friday night, as long as you don't get too arrogant, you're probably going to win that game too. You win those three, now the pressure's on Dallas. Instead, it doesn't necessarily feel that way.
But let's not forget, the Predators did get a point last night.
They did get a point.
Getting 5 of 6 points potentially at the end of this stretch, that's not the worst thing in the entire world.
So that's a very macro view of it, which I don't disagree with. But 5 of 6 points, saying 5 of 6 points and knowing that you blew a 4-1 lead, that is where, like, even if you win Friday, we'll look back at that sixth point and think, if they just had that point. And I don't think we can do that yet. That's where I struggle with. I mean, again, if you had played and Chicago had played tough and you had played tough and it had gone right to the end and Chicago wins in a shootout, Chicago wins in overtime, then I think we'd say, okay, they needed 5 of 6 points. I kind of thought they needed 6 of 6 points, but that's neither here nor there. They needed 5 of 6 points and they've got a shot Friday and we'd feel okay about it. Not, oh my God, they had the game in their hands and they lost it. Ugh. And that's how I feel today.
If the Predators would have lost Friday, just knowing that, okay, you got those 4 points, the pressure is off them a little bit on Friday, would you have felt better with a loss on Friday knowing those 4 points were already secured?
Like a regulation loss?
Just a loss. Like, you know, knowing that 4 of 6 points were secured. Because I think at this point, the unknown of Friday is the really tough thing. You know, oh, you had those 2 points and you lost them and you still have another game on Friday.
No.
Still have 2 more points to secure.
No, because I don't accept losing in overtime on Friday. Like, that's not an acceptable outcome at this point. Again, and I'm not one to sit there and do the math formulas because games are decided on the ice. But if Chicago wins, the maximum points they can have for the season will be greater than the Predators can have if they win Friday night. That essentially means that Chicago is going to be ahead of the Predators if they win Friday night, or at least have the potential to pull ahead. They can win out. The Predators can't do anything about it. So losing in any fashion on Friday night at this point right now, the way I look at the standings, the way I look at the schedule, I don't think it's much of an option. I mean, that's what hurts so bad about last night is you literally had both points in your hands. You had basically ended their season. All you would have had to go out and do Friday is put together a decent effort, won that, and then it's a two-horse race with you and Dallas, and the pressure would have been on Dallas.
And the pressure would have been off to win those games against Florida.
Sure. I mean, now they're going to have to steal one along the way. Like Carolina at the end of the year, Florida upcoming, they're going to have to steal games against decent teams. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, I hear the text line is blowing up.
It is a poppin'.
615-737-1025. We'll go to your thoughts next here on Stillman and Company. FanDuel Sportsbook. You know I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's my official sportsbook app. One of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. What's cool about the FanDuel Sportsbook app, again, my official sportsbook app, is that you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So you can go money line, you can go point spread, first basket scorer, player points, whatever. Right now, FanDuel is giving new and existing users the opportunity to get $25 back in site credit each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every single day. That's why I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and when you win, you'll get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use the promo code JGM at sign up for same game parlay. That's promo code JGM. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Inestroza through center across the Nashville line. Works in against Howla. Now Hagel. Hagel with a shot. He scored. Hagel scores into overtime, and the Blackhawks win this game. Hagel scores at 4 minutes of the overtime period.
Devastating loss for the Preds, but one valuable point, a huge comeback, gutsy effort to win this one for the Hawks to keep things alive for them. Wow.
Oh, I think Hal Gill tells you all you need to know about last night's game right there. When it went to overtime, Caroline Fenton, did you have any hope they were going to pull it out? Or I should say hope. Any expectation they were going to pull it out?
I had hope. I don't know if I had an expectation. And to be totally honest with you, in the third period, when the Blackhawks scored, I thought, okay, you know, whatever, still up by two. When they scored again, I still thought there is absolutely no way the Predators are going to let them score again to tie it. And then they did it, and at that point, I just thought, okay, you know, I can hold on to hope, but it doesn't look good.
So the Braves were playing the Yankees last night, and I was over at my parents' house. My brother's in town. He's, you know, not, he does not come in town often. And my brother was in town, so he was over at my parents' house. We're watching the game. And I flip, you know, we flip over to see how the Braves are doing. And then my Twitter just blows up. And I flip it right back, and all of a sudden it's 4-3. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And once they scored the fourth one to tie it, I kind of knew. Tune in later on in the show. We'll reveal a keyword for you to text into the game text line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate giveaway. A Dos Equis prize pack includes a case of beer dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Speaking of that text line, Caroline Fenton is on it with your reaction from last night's loss and with me saying it was over about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, however many minutes you want to go, me saying it was over, and then the Predators choking the game away. Caroline, what's on the text line?
One texter said, the Preds still played one of their best games of the year until that unfortunate four-minute stretch. Subban made a few good saves. Chicago gets a fluke second goal after Josi is stunned by a shot from the point, and things just unraveled. While that was a huge point to give up, I still have confidence this team will take care of business on Friday.
So I'm not sure I share in that confidence, though I'm not pessimistic either. I mean, I think it's an important game. They need to go out there and they need to win it. Can we talk about Josi for a second? Because the texter brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Woof. What a freaking awful performance by Roman Josi. And, I mean, this is a guy who very often does not have bad performances.
In the third period, especially.
But he sucked in that first goal. He gave them that first goal. I tweeted it out last night. That turnover that he had when he could have just put the puck along the boards and instead tries to kind of dish it off to Granlin, you know, like that decision was like a Vince Young interception when he was quarterback of the Titans, where they would show an interception Vince would throw, and they would show the replay, and you'd see like the guy, like three DBs are there, the receiver is not even in the vicinity, and you're thinking, what were you thinking when you did that? Like, what were you thinking? And then the more we got to know Vince Young, the more we kind of understood it. Roman Josi is not Vince Young. I mean, last night's game, and I talk about wanting somebody to step up. He stunk last night. Like, for a player of his stature, what he means to that team, what he's capable of, what we're used to seeing from him on a night-in, night-out basis, he stunk last night. So I forget what the texter said, but he brought up Josi, and I'm like, boy, he stunk last night. And I think that should at least be noted. And now I think we should just move on from it.
And I also think that Malcolm Subban deserves a lot of credit last night. I mean, in the first and second period, I mean, the Predators were just shot after shot. And he was blocking a lot of really solid shots. So props to him for playing a really great game. Ben texted into the text line and said, if they don't make the playoffs, it's because of the situation they put themselves in earlier in the season, not because of one or two games down the stretch. I agree with that in some form or fashion, but earlier in the season, the playoffs weren't even a thought. I think once after you had this month or so long stretch, then yes, you can kind of blame it on one or two games whenever the playoffs become a realistic picture in the future.
I mean, if you lose the playoff spot to Dallas by 1 point, as you are projected to do, it goes back to the 4-1 lead you had in the third period. Even when it was 4-2, Money Puck gave you a 95.5% chance of winning that game. I mean, I can get it. Like, you can do that with anything, right? Like, you can go, you know, if you've got a lead in the ninth inning to get a playoff spot in baseball, and you've got a 5-run lead and your closer comes in and he can't find the strike zone, and then you bring somebody else in and they lob up a grand slam, and then the next guy comes up and he's a hit batsman, and we've all seen those catastrophic innings in baseball, and you don't make the playoffs because of it. We're not going back to April 17th when you lost a game, you know, on the road at Minnesota, and say, you know, if they had just held that, you know, if they had just gotten that bunt over in April, they would have made the playoffs too. That's not how it works. That's not how this works. Last night's game, and I will say this again because I think it is worth saying. Last night's game is, if it were any other team, I would literally say that is a season ender. That is a backbreaker. I mean, Hal Gill has been coming on this show for 3 or 4 years, and we've been arguing every time Hal Gill comes on the show, because I am somewhat skeptical at times, and Hal is not. And even Hal, in that clip we played right there, Hal was like, oh, devastating loss. But hey, they got a point, and you got to give the Blackhawks credit for their gutsy effort. Like, you know, like Hal's like, you know, the initial reaction of devastating loss. And then it's trying to find the sunny side. And I'm just saying, devastating loss, given everything that was put in front of you, given the situation. I mean, it's just devastating. And it's one of those ones where, yeah, sure, if you want to play it like this and talk about earlier in the season and that's why they're not going to make the playoffs, that's fine. Dallas struggled earlier in the season to who? So it's not like, okay, well, this is all about the Predators, and if they didn't stink earlier in the year, then, well, like, no duh.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the Predators won more games earlier in the year, yes, points would have accumulated and you wouldn't be in this exact spot.
But when you blow situations like that, that I think probably hurts the most. I go back to the Winnipeg series in 2018. Predators got smacked at home in game one, I believe won in overtime in game two. They got smacked at home in game five. They got smacked at home in game seven. So they lost the 4-game series. And one of the big kind of, you know, noteworthy aspects of that series loss was the fact that they were getting beat at Bridgestone Arena so much, and that Pekka Rinne was getting pulled in those games. What people never talk about in that Winnipeg series is the 3-0 lead they had in game three at Winnipeg. They had a 3-0 lead in the second period. They had won game two in overtime. Winnipeg took back home ice by winning game one. The Predators had a 3-0 lead, and Winnipeg went ham in that second period, and it cost him the game. And when we look back to the series, we think about Pekka's meltdown in Game 7, or we think about how they got smoked in Game 5, and nobody ever remembers that huge blown lead. And that's something that I think about all the time. Is if you hold on to that lead, you take a 2-1 advantage going into game four. Now, all the pressure's on the Jets. You win game four, you're up 3-1, you're going to win the series. And I truly believe, even though Winnipeg lost in the next round of the conference final to Vegas, and Vegas lost in the cup final to Washington, I truly believe that the Predators beaten the Jets in that series, they would have won the cup. Now, there's nothing there that backs that up. It's just my firm belief. But that blowing of a 3-0 lead in game three, that, in my opinion, is what cost you the cup in 2018. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we can you can take it back to whichever little thing you want to take it back to. But ultimately, when you have that kind of advantage and you let it slip through your hands, that's where it's going to hurt the most when you really think about it. I think that's kind of how last night's game was.
Especially in this crunch time period. And I'm not going to go as far as to say that it's a season ender, but it definitely hurts momentum.
Would we, like, if we looked at another team, wouldn't we say that?
Like if we looked
at the odds and we saw 30% odds that go up to essentially 50% odds if you win and it's a big game and you totally blow it, would we not look at a team blowing that kind of advantage and say, oh yeah, yep, the Red Sox needed that one and they had a 7-2 lead going to the seventh and they lost to the Yankees. Like, I kind of would say that. I really probably would if it was somebody else. This team, and maybe, hey, maybe it's a local homer thing. I don't know. But I just think with this team, every time you want to count them out, they turn around and do the opposite of what you think they're going to do.
Right.
That is who they are. So,
for example, your tweet last night.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to really all of it, right? Like, nobody had their hopes up about making the playoffs until they decided not to trade at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Then when they did that, what happened? They got smacked by Carolina and then obviously lost this game. So, again, when you get excited about the Predators and you think they're going to do one thing, they do the other. By the way, I'm not taking any blame. Let me just state for the record. I'm not taking any blame for the losses unless I get credit for the wins. So if you want to blame me for last night's loss, then you have to give me credit for the 2017 sweep of Chicago when I spent 2 months saying that they were never going to beat the Blackhawks in a playoff series. That's only fair. I am a believer in two-way streets.
Okay. I wasn't here then, so I'm going to say that I don't have the right to give you credit for that.
You're not the you that I'm referring to.
Okay.
But there is a you. And for the you, that's all I'm saying. ESPN 102.5, the game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. Who doesn't love free beer? Tune in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located in the Opry Mills Mall. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. There is a story in the NFL that apparently only two people don't like. Me and Tom Brady. Next, Stillman and Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. Stillman and Company last night, by the way, when the Predators had that big lead and I tweeted out that the game was over and then the Blackhawks made their return, I told my dad what had happened. I was over at their house again. My brother was in town. I told my dad what had happened and he looked at me and he goes, why do you do this? And I was like, yeah, you know, it's just kind of the way I am, you know.
It was just so easy to not send it. Just wait 15 minutes.
That's not who I am.
15 minutes.
Tell it how it is all the time. It's time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
What do we have, Ms. Fenton?
Adam Schefter reported yesterday that the NFL is now going to allow certain positions to expand their jersey numbers. Something that I don't care. If you feel passionate enough, if you're running back and you want to wear number 2 with
nope.
Derrick Henry's number in college, go for it. I don't care. There are two people on this planet that feel incredibly anti-changing the jersey numbers.
Yep.
You are one of them.
True.
The other one is Tom Brady. He absolutely hates the number change. He posted on his Instagram story, good luck trying to block the right people now. Going to make for a lot of bad football. Really? Do jersey numbers affect your play that much? He posted on his Instagram story in big all capital letters, dumb.
I like to think that great minds think alike.
Oh, boy.
And
oh,
I would say Brady, I mean, again, I don't need a running back that's number 3.
Why not?
I don't need a wide receiver because if you are, from now on, whenever somebody gets mad about, you know, history, and it's like, this is our history. We cannot do this. We cannot change the racist name of the Washington football team because that's tradition. I'm going to say, how do you feel about a wide receiver wearing number 3?
I like it. Justin Jefferson wearing the number 2, I love
no.
that. I'm all over it.
No.
And,
no.
I mean, I just don't understand.
Football is a certain way. Football's a certain way. Quarterbacks get to good numbers.
Well, you're whining at people who are whining at you about wanting to change college baseball to seven innings.
That's because that's practical to help the sport.
Well,
this is not helping the sport.
Well, it doesn't hurt. It's a number.
It doesn't help. I'm trying to help the sport. In this, I just think it's dumb. And again, like I said, great minds think alike. I hated it yesterday. Brady hates it today. I'm not saying he got the take from me. He obviously didn't. But I'm just saying, like, again, great minds think alike. I stand by it. I'm glad Tom feels the same way.
I just think it's incredible that one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks of all time.
Agrees with Jared Stillman.
Seven Super Bowls. He's afraid of strawberries and jersey numbers. Really? I mean, you have seven Super Bowls.
We did have the discussion about strawberries earlier today.
Yeah, I don't get his
strawberry
deal about not eating
weird.
Strawberries.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a weird thing. And so is being afraid of a running back wearing number two. I
We're
just
not
don't get
afraid.
It.
We just think it's dumb.
I don't get the problem. I love it. But what I do think is a little bit crazy that I learned today is that if a player does decide to change his jersey number in the 2021 season, he has to buy out the jersey distributors of the jersey that he previously wore.
I think it should be the other way around.
You think the jersey distributor should pay the player?
No. I think the player should have to pay for all the fans that have bought the jersey to be able to take it back to the pro shop and get another jersey. I mean, think about it. Christmas last year, what if you got a number 22 Derrick Henry jersey? And then Derrick Henry wants to change his number to two. Well, instead of Derrick having to buy all the Nike jerseys to Nike, who already has all the money, Derrick should have to, that 8-year-old who got a number 22 Derrick Henry jersey should be allowed to take it back to the Titans Pro Shop and should be allowed to get a new Derrick Henry jersey. And Derrick should pay for it. That way the money is going to the people and not the corporation.
I don't think Nike would like that idea too much.
Well, I'm going to call up some politicians and we're going to hammer this one through.
But if the kid has a number 22 Derrick Henry jersey, it's vintage. It's cool. It's old school Derrick Henry.
Throwback this, throwback that. It ain't where you're from. It's where you're throwback at. What's that next?
On the same kind of lines as the jersey number change, A.J. Brown wore number one at Ole Miss, and a lot of people were thinking, oh, you know, would that be something that he potentially would be interested in, is changing his number from 11 to number one now that that's allowed. He would have had to have asked former Houston Oilers quarterback Warren Moon, who's a Hall of Famer quarterback, if he could use his number. And A.J. Brown tweeted out and said, at Warren Moon, I was about to bother you and ask you, is there any way I could wear the number one until I read your bio on Twitter? I'm not even deserving, to be honest. Thank you for everything you've done for the game. You're a legend. Salute. Warren Moon's bio is Hall of Fame quarterback, 9-time Pro Bowler, 2-time NFL passing yards leader, 5-time Grey Cup champion, UW football Ring of Honor. So pretty cool story. Pretty cool that A.J. Brown is saluting the legends.
Warren Moon released by Floyd Reese. Let me say this on the A.J. Brown front. I don't think you have to ask Warren to wear the number. I think you have to ask Amy if you can ask Warren if you can have the number. You know, like if I own the Titans, and this would put me in a really uncomfortable spot.
Yeah.
But if I own the team and I was like, hey, we're retiring these numbers, and then the player goes to the retired player and says, hey, can I wear your number? I'd kind of be like, no. We have retired Jim Bob Cooter's number, and we are not giving that baby out. You know, we are honoring that number. Because it also puts the player in a weird spot, right?
Right.
Like if a number 18 goes to the Indianapolis Colts and he calls Peyton and he says, hey, Peyton, I'd like to wear your number. Is Peyton going to feel like, what is Peyton supposed to do on the phone? No. You know, so like to me, this is kind of more of an owner thing. But it is nice that A.J. Brown's done at least a little bit of research to find out who Warren Moon is.
Yes, one of the most legendary and the only black quarterback in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Next up for A.J. Brown, Otto Graham.
That's next on the learning our former NFL players list.
Yes, that's the next video in the collection.
Yes, exactly. An anonymous AFC quarterback scout said about Zach Wilson, if I was picking number one, it'd be hard for me not to take him over Trevor. He's got a real playmaking ability. He's shorter than Lawrence. I get it, but he's got ball all about him. He makes plays, very, very unique plays. It's an anonymous AFC quarterback scout.
How do you interpret anonymous sourcing in general, and how do you interpret anonymous scout sourcing?
I just read the tweets. I just saw it on Twitter. But I always say, you know, if you are doing kind of a heavy subject and maybe you may be dealing with some people whose names don't want to get out there, of course, anonymous source. All of this anonymous source thing in football and basketball, just say where you got it from. You know, Woj will say, sources say. Just say who you got it from. It's not a big deal.
Well, people don't want to get fired, though. That's the thing.
That's true.
And people don't want, you know, their drama out there, right? Like, so say a college coach. Like, I talked about a college coach who said, Jalen Phillips, Aziz Ojulari, then Elijah Moore, if he's the Titans. If I let the cat out of the bag who that was, now it's going to be pretty uncomfortable.
It's political.
And he's not going to want to deal with that.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to scouts, and it comes to anonymous scout, not every scout thinks the same thing. The Titans have multiple scouts. Not every scout believes the same thing. C.O. Bracato, the legendary scout who the Titans draft room is named after, C.O. Bracato begged everybody in the room to draft Wes Welker. And the GM at the time, Floyd Reese, just didn't see it or didn't feel the need to draft Wes Welker. And he obviously didn't. And I believe Welker was a 7th-round pick by the Dolphins, or he was an undrafted free agent or something out of Texas Tech. And you look back on it, and obviously C.O. Bracato is a genius, and they should have drafted Wes Welker. And could you imagine Wes Welker on the Titans? But I guess the point is there are other scouts in the room that are like, no, we don't want to do that. And so I hear this stuff like, anonymous scout says there's like 500 scouts in the NFL. We can't get 500 Americans in the same room to agree on anything. We can say, like, oxygen is represented by H2O. And somebody in that room would be like, nah, I don't believe that one. So when I hear anonymous scout says, I don't discredit the sourcing. I don't discredit the fact that that's a scout. That's his job. That's his. But there are scouts out there that will sit and tell you that Lamar Jackson should have been the 32nd pick in the draft. I mean, so I just don't buy into that. Now, the Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence front. Let me ask you this. How many times in a draft does a quarterback go high in the first round and the guy never pan out?
More frequently than it works
60,
out.
60, 65, 70%? How often does a prodigy go number one? And this is in sports. And never work out. Think about it. LeBron James, prodigy, number one overall, boom. Now, Greg Oden was a number one in basketball. He didn't work out. So that's an example of it. Brian Taylor, a pitcher in the 90s for the Yankees, went number one overall, blew out his arm. Didn't work out. But Bryce Harper worked out. And Andrew Luck worked out.
Ben Simmons worked out.
Ben Simmons has worked out. I mean, these prodigies, when they go number one, they usually work out. Trevor Lawrence is one of these prodigies. I mean, we've been talking about Trevor Lawrence as the number one pick in the draft since the first time that he stepped onto the field at Clemson. And so that's why I have a hard time getting on board with the Zach Wilson thing, that he could be better than Lawrence. And it's just a percentage play. I don't know enough about Zach Wilson. I also think the other side of this is, I think the Jets are a lousy organization. I know they have a new coach, but I don't see that changing. So I have a hard time getting on board with it. Caroline's headlines. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the NFL draft, coming up next on the program. And by the way, our draft show starts at 5 o'clock, TD and Chris Sanders. So it'll normally be the TD Power Hour, not today, because, again, we have a two-hour draft preview show. But I hear people talk about need, need, need. I was watching Colin Cowherd. Need, need, need. We've learned about Caroline Fenton, and we love her, but we've learned need, need, need. But what is the long-term thought process when it comes to the Titans? And should we be thinking about it? Next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN at 102.5 The Game.